And Matthew 13, I want to begin reading at verse number 24. Matthew 13, 24, and I'm sure that some of the, probably every point I say would certainly help ladies also today. This is Men's Day, and we welcome you to Men's Day. Matthew 13 and verse number 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. We have here the parable of the tares spoken of by the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the unique parables of the New Testament, and I'll tell you why in a moment. But I want you to notice here in verse number 25, there is a little phrase that says, while men slept. While men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. And I'd like to speak this morning on that subject, men. While men slept. While men slept. Notice the devastating consequences in the story, while men slept. I'd like to point out a few things from this story as well as some other stories in the Bible this morning. To help us as men to embrace our important position and calling in God's work as leaders. God has made us so by nature and by instinct that we should be his leaders in his institutions, whether that be the government, whether it be the home, or whether it be in the church, in society. God is counting on us men. But you notice, while men slept, something terrible happened. I was a farmer for 16 years over in Orchard Park, where my dad's farm was, and I have never, ever experienced like this, anything like this. I've never heard of a farmer who ever experienced something like this happening to them. Whenever my dad planted a field of wheat, wheat came up. When he planted a field of oats, oats came up. When he drilled corn, corn came up. We never had an experience where some enemy came in while we were sleeping and sowed our fields with tares. But this happened here in this parable in the kingdom of heaven, and it's likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. The harvest was affected. The field was affected while good men slept. An enemy came in and infiltrated the field and corrupted the field and made the harvest more difficult. This is one of the unique parables in the Bible because there's only a couple of them that Jesus ever gives the translation to it. Most parables are just spoken. They are an earthly story that has some kind of a heavenly or spiritual meaning to them. But there's a couple, such as the parable of the sower, and this one, the parable of the tares, where Jesus actually told us exactly what he meant by the parable. So let's go to the definition now of what he just said. And in verse 36, it says, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. You know, I'm glad we have a Savior that when we ask him to show us something, he shows it to us. Did you know that can be the daily experience of each and every one of us as we read the Bible? You and I can open the Bible up and say, Lord, show me what you meant by your word right here and by the Holy Ghost, that live-in teacher who exists inside of the believer in Jesus Christ, he can tell us what the Bible says. And here he gives the interpretation beginning in verse 37. He says, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. Now that's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ wants his word to be spread throughout his kingdom, throughout the world. For verse 38, he says, the field is the world. The field is the world. God has sown his seed, the word of God, throughout all of the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. That's every single one of us that has been saved. We're like a piece of wheat that is coming up in his field for harvest. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. We see here how clear Jesus translated this parable for us, so we knew exactly line by line what was going on. And it says, someday he is going to gather the righteous, and they shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. In Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4 or 3, it says this, and they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. I want to encourage you strongly today to spend the rest of your life trying to turn as many people as you can to righteousness, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Learn how to evangelize. Learn how to be a soul winner. Learn how to share the gospel, and try to spend the rest of your life, because it says, they that be wise. In the book of Proverbs, it says, he that winneth souls is wise. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Boy, you want to be a star someday? Be a soul winner. Try to reach as many people as you can with the gospel. Win people to Christ. Try to live a fruitful life. Be a testimony. Be an example. Live an impeccable lifestyle that will cause people to turn to Christ and speak the word. That's what the righteous should do. We should be wise. You could earn $1 million, $2 million, $5 million, $10 million, and the world will pat you on your back and tell you what a success you are. But when you die, you'll leave every last cent of it behind in this world. But when you turn people to Christ, you'll take them with you to heaven, and they'll exist for the Lord forever and ever and ever. That's why it's wise to be a soul winner. It's wise to be a soul winner. It's wise to try to win people to Christ. And so we have here the Son of Man sowing the good seed. The good seed are the fields of the world. The good seed are the children. God's spreading his children out all over the world so that he can have a harvest. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. And he begins to plant his children all over the place. Verse 38, when? Verse 25, while men slept. While men slept, the children of the wicked one begin to grow. And the enemy that sowed them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the world. The reapers, the angels. My, oh my. I want you to notice a couple things in this story and a couple things in some other stories of what happens while men slept. I want you to notice, number one, infiltration. Number one, there's an infiltration while men slept. While men slept, it says here, some enemy came into the very field of the Son of Man and begin to spread his seed. It's the devil. He infiltrates. This is how the devil works, by infiltration. Do you understand today that the churches that we see in America and around the world, so many times we see Presbyterian churches, Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Lutheran churches. Notice all those churches were one time started by evangelical Christians, fundamental Christians, born-again Christians, who knew the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. They insisted on people being regenerated before being added to the membership roles of the church. They insisted on it. But do you understand that almost every one of those denominations today, Presbyterian, Methodist, and Lutheran, and Baptist, and so many of these denominations that were once started by regenerated, born-again children of God are now bastions of liberalism. They're now bastions of modernism. That even the clergymen in the pulpits have not had a born-again experience where they've received Christ as their Savior. They're as lost as can be. The membership's lost. In fact, it's so hard nowadays to even find a church where the Bible is still being preached and still being practiced. It's rare when they all start. Places like the Chautauqua Institute that once started, and what an amazing place that is. I don't know if you've ever driven down through it. That was started by evangelicals and fundamental Christians as a place to train Sunday school teachers, as a place to train missionaries, as a place to have revival meetings. Now you can go down there and spend the entire summer down there and never hear the gospel of Jesus Christ once, but you'll hear every liberal preach, you'll hear every modernist preach, and they'll cut up the Bible and spit it out. They'll cut up Jesus Christ and spit him out, and they'll be for everything that is vile and filthy and ungodly in this world. Why? Because men slept one time at the Chautauqua Institute. Men slept in the Presbyterian churches and the Methodist churches and the Lutheran churches and so many of your Wesleyan churches and so many of your Baptist churches. Clergymen slept, and while they slept, the enemy came in and sowed tares among the wheat. And they took over pulpits and they took over churches. They never build anything. They just take over what's been built by God's people. Infiltration while men slept. While men are sleeping today in the pulpits. And I'd like you to just keep your place here if you'd like and turn back to Isaiah 56. Isaiah 56 for a moment with me in verse number 10. Isaiah 56, 10. While men are sleeping in the pulpits today, even good churches are being corrupted. All kinds of ungodly music is being introduced into churches today by pastors who see the congregations getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And in desperation for some way to keep the people coming to church, they've lowered their standards. They lowered the flag. They've lowered their convictions so that they'll bring in the world. You know, when I grew up, it used to be sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Now it's in the church. Now it's in the church, the holy church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's ungodly music. Why? While men slept. While men slept. Isaiah 56 and verse 10, it says, his watchmen are blind. They're all ignorant. They're all dumb dogs. They cannot bark. Sleeping. Lying down. Loving to slumber. They're greedy. Shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain and for his quarter. My, oh my, if it was a problem back in Isaiah's day, it's a problem today too. With so many of the clergymen sleeping, they don't bark anymore. They don't want to offend anybody anymore with the truth. They don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. They don't want to try to make people better. They got signs out, come as you are, stay as you are, leave as you are. The Bible ought to be a place where the presence of the Holy Ghost changes us and makes us better while we're there. We're not supposed to stay as we are. I'm supposed to be changing. You're supposed to be changing as we try to become more like Christ. He perfects us. His goal for us is perfection. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 48. That's the ideal. I know none of us, including myself, are even close to that, but at least it gives us something to aim for the rest of our lives. See, the church is supposed to be so powerful that it's the salt of the earth, that it keeps the world from rotting and keeps the world from corrupting. And there used to be a time when the church was that powerful in our country. But now it's not the church that has influence over the world, it's the world that has influence over the church. And the church is becoming like the world. And the way we act and dress and the music we listen to and so on. Why? Men are sleeping in the pulpits. They're hirelings. They're not shepherds. They're hirelings. They're in it for the money. And they think that a crowd is a church. A crowd is never a church. The Lord has always been among a faithful remnant of people who love Him and want to do right and want to be holy men and women of God. One of the verses that is related to preachers, it says in Colossians 1:28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. That's supposed to be the goal. The preacher's got to work on himself first. Like I have to work on myself because I'm so far from perfect, but I have to work. But the goal is to preach. The goal is to warn every man that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. But there's been an infiltration into the churches and the institutes today and into the colleges and into the schools. Did you realize that up till 1962 in America, the Bible was your primer. The Bible was your textbook for learning superior English. The King James Bible, up till 1962. The 1963 prayer was taken out. And there's been an infiltration now of humanism and socialism and evolution and communism and all kinds of ungodliness. It's no fault of those in the school systems. They're trying to do a good job, a lot of them. But there's just been an infiltration. One lady who was an atheist said, you know, I don't want my son saying the pledge to the flag. I don't like him hearing the Bible and say, okay, we'll take it away from everybody. Infiltration. I'm telling you, while men slept, it's an infiltration. And second of all, there's damnation. Back in our text here in the book of Matthew, I want you to notice while men slept, there's damnation. The Lord says in verse 30, let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them. When he explained this parable later in the chapter, he said in verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Hell is a forgotten doctrine today. There's very little preaching about damnation anymore. Pastor Seth talked with two Mormons this week. The Mormon religion has now denied the existence of hell. Not that I was ever for them, but they used to believe in it. The Jehovah's Witnesses was started by Charles Taze Russell because he had so much fear of hell, and he just, in his mind, could not reconcile how a loving God could send anyone to hell. But he forgot that the main attribute of God is holiness. Justice and judgment. Thank God he's loving. He'll save anybody. He doesn't want anyone to go there. But he's a God of impeccable holiness. Justice and judgment. And damnation. So many, I believe 87% of your Methodist preachers today deny the existence of hell. I don't care if everyone denies it. I'm going to side with Jesus Christ. He is the truth. He said his word is truth. And when he explained it clearly, here what's going to happen, he preached about hell. Look down at verse 48. We didn't read these, but he says, which when it is full, do I have the right one? Chapter 13. Well, I may not have the right verses. But verses 40, as therefore the tares shall be gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. I'm just like you. I wish that wasn't true. But there's a God of righteous judgment. We need to realize that while men sleep, people are being damned. You realize that the gospel is only good news if it gets there on time? You understand that? The gospel is only good news if it gets there on time. Because later in Paul's words, it reveals to us that we shall be judged, he said, according to my gospel. You realize the gospel is bad news to the unsaved? They are going to be judged at the judgment, not now, but at the judgment. Paul said they'll be judged according to my gospel. That's what Paul said. On the judgment day, the Lord's going to ask the lost, what did you do with Paul's gospel? And some of them are going to say, what was Paul's gospel? He's going to say, this is what Paul's gospel was. I gave it to him. Christ died for your sins. According to the scriptures, was buried and rose again. According to the scriptures, what did you do with that? So many are going to say, I denied Christ by my own works. I tried to work my own way to heaven. Others are going to say, I rejected Christ. Others are going to say, I neglected Christ. I was going to get to it, but I didn't get to it in time. Others are going to say, I never heard it. Jesus said in John chapter number 4 and verse 35, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are white already to harvest. There's a harvest now if we'll just make ourselves available and go out. But some men are sleeping, and some men say, you know, I know I should evangelize, I should try to win souls, and I should go out, and someday I'm gonna get to it. But all the time we're waiting, all the time we're sleeping, souls are perishing. Talked to a fellow yesterday out on visitation, and I didn't get the Romans 3:23. But like a switch went off in him, and tears just began to flow down. All I said was, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he started just crying. Why? The Holy Ghost had been working on him. I went through the gospel with him, showed him how to be saved. He was crying so hard I had to reach over some tissues and wipe his nose. Never saw a man cry so much in my life. I finally said to him, I said, sir, you need to trust Christ as your Savior. I'm going to pray for you right now. God will help you to understand. God will give you faith and repentance to believe. And then I'm going to pray with you. And sir, I'm going to lead you in a prayer that you can say to God right now. And if you believe Christ died, and I went over the gospel, and I took a lot of time with him there and went over the gospel with him. He couldn't talk very well because of his health. But I'll tell you, he just bawled like a baby. And while I was praying, he was praying to God and saying, God, have mercy on me. God, save my soul. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Be my Savior. What if I'd have stayed home yesterday and said, my knee hurts? It's cold outside. I don't feel like it. I've worked all week. All men slept. That's a success story. He got saved, but I wonder how many failures there are. I wonder how many people there are out on Saturdays, Tuesdays, or whatever that are just waiting to receive Christ as their Savior. I was a complete stranger in this man's life. He never met me before in his life, but he was so ready. It wasn't funny. I never met a man so ready, I don't think. But I wonder how many times we haven't gone out, or how many times we said, well, that's something for others. Others are called. It's not a calling, it's a commandment. And I cannot tell you how many times I have not felt like going out. But I went out anyways and just placed myself at the availability of God and said, God, use me. I didn't go to see this man. He just happened to be where I happened to be going. And there was a divine appointment that moment. The day of salvation. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. That's a success. But how many times have we failed where we didn't go out? It's too cold. That's not for me. I'm busy doing other things. While men slept. Damnation. People waiting, but no witness shows up. Jesus said, lift up your eyes on the harvest. Don't say 4 months, then cometh harvest. Go out now. We got a visitation program. Sign up for it today. Go out. Take some of these. We're trying to get couples, teams, families, members. I don't care if you're married or single. Find a partner, teenagers. It doesn't matter. Just grab some of these door hangers that we have made up. We're almost ready to have them made up probably by Wednesday. And just find a place. Just go down the road and leave those door hangers on people's doors. If they're home, just say we're from one of the local churches in town. And just want to stop by and let you know about our ministry. But more than that, just God loves you and cares about you. And see what happens. See what happens. I'm telling you, some of the most amazing things have happened to me just by making myself available and saying, Lord, I'm scared, I'm shaking like nuts, and I'm going crazy, but I'm going to go out anyway, and Lord, I just make myself available to you. And I sat down with a dear man last week, and Brother Marvin's with me. An hour and a half, we answered his Bible questions. I said some things to him. Marvin said, he didn't get saved last week. But I believe God's working on his heart. Damnation. The Lord says, look, you got to wake up. Lift up your eyes. Fields are white. Fields are white. If I was a betting man, I'd bet every one of you, if you spent some time out on visitation this week, you'd probably cross paths eventually with somebody who wants to know something about God. There's a couple other things here, men, I want to throw at you in closing. Endangerment is number three. While Jonah was sleeping, he endangered everybody else in the boat. While he was sleeping. While Achan was sleeping spiritually and didn't listen to what God had told him to do, and he went into Jericho and stole things, he endangered his whole family. While Lot was sleeping spiritually in Sodom, a place he shouldn't even been living in, he endangered his whole family. His two daughters died. His wife died. His other two daughters lived the rest of their life in sin. Because though he was a righteous man, he was asleep in Sodom. While Ananias was sleeping spiritually, and said, God's not going to see this. He only gave part of the sum that he promised to the Lord. He endangered his wife, and both he and his wife were killed. While Korah was sleeping, all of his family and his houses, the earth opened up and swallowed him up. There's so many examples where men were sleeping. You understand why asleep today? We mean we're talking about a spiritual metaphor. We're not aware, we're not conscious that our decisions are having consequences. Very soon you're going to see little girls, 12, 13, 14 years of age, walking all over the sidewalks, almost completely naked. And every time you see them, it's because there's a father that's asleep. You're going to see young people involved in drugs because there's a father who's asleep. You're going to see young people drinking because a father's asleep. I walked into a gas station the other day. There's two young men watching pornography on a laptop. And when they saw it, they shut it down real quick. When I walked in, there's some father asleep. Some father's not watching out for his kids. And while men sleep, it's dangerous for our boys and girls and our sons and our daughters. It's dangerous for them. We've got to have some fathers who will wake up and love their sons and love their daughters and embrace them and be their heroes. The Bible says the glory of children are their fathers. Men, we've got to embrace that. We're their glory. They come out of the womb thinking we're the greatest. And we've got to embrace that and not fail them. Thousand abortions in America every day. Over a third of them are teenage girls. Some father's asleep. Somebody's asleep. Watching filthy television shows and filthy movies. Some father's asleep. Filthy internet sites. Some father's asleep. Filthiness on the phones. Horrible filthiness on the phones. I had a man one time take a phone and said, let me show you this. And he picked it up and there was a totally nude woman on his phone. He was showing it to me. I said, that's what's out there today. I said, what'd you have to show that to me for? You wouldn't believe, if there was ever a time when men need to be more awake than today, it's now. While men slept, the enemy sowed tears. Endangerment, enslavement, while Peter slept, he was kept bound and imprisoned and outnumbered by 16 soldiers while he slept. He was captivated. He was held captive, but prayer was made of the church without ceasing for him. Thank God for those at church who pray. Pray. We need to pray for those who have been taken captive by the devil. Boy, all over, even the church has people who are addicted today to all kinds of addictions. And the Bible instructs us that we in meekness must instruct those that oppose themselves of God peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him. And as well, you wouldn't believe what people in the body of Christ are hiding, what they're enslaved to. Taken captive by the devil while they slept. And then finally, defeat. It says in Matthew 26 at verse 56, as Jesus prayed, he came back, found all of his disciples sleeping. He said, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray. And then, boy, if every statement Jesus ever said was truth. But boy, if he ever spoke a greater truth, I don't know. He said this, the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. He said, you got to watch and pray. Men, you got to be awake, Jesus said. Romans 13:11 says, it's high time that we awake out of our sleep. Ephesians 5:14, it says, awake thou that sleepest. 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, therefore let us not sleep as do others. And in closing, would you turn to Mark 13 with me? And then we'll pray. I'm going to be real nice to you tonight, I promise. But I'm concerned today. You understand what I'm saying? The glory of children are their fathers. Number one, the Bible says a girl's desire shall be under her husband, Genesis 3:16. The Bible says that the man is the image and the glory of God. The woman is the glory of the man. Do you understand that threefold position, that threefold office we have as men? All of our children look up to us as their glory. Girls look up to men from the time they come out of the womb, they start planning their wedding. They start planning their wedding. I heard a lady the other day talking about her wedding. Man, she's going on and on. When are you getting married? October. Long ways away. Do you think her fiancé is going to talk about his wedding? No, he's going to stand there like a statue and can't wait till this is over. That's the only planning he's going to do. They come out for it with a desire for a man. I'm telling you. I'm trying to help you. Us men can't fail the women folk. We are the glory of God. When it says we're the glory of God, it means we are the opinion people get of God when they look at us. Men, males. We are the reflection of God. They can't see God, but our kids can see us. We need to reflect the Lord to them. And that's just the way it is. We got to be awake and we got to embrace that. We can't say, well, I didn't choose that. Tough beans. I didn't either. It's a powerful position. It's a powerful position that we can use it for good. But we can't sleep. Mark 13, in closing, in verse 35, the Bible says this, watch ye therefore. You know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. What I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. I'd like us to bow our heads and close our eyes for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, help us. Help us when you come that you will not find us sleeping. Lord, we're not talking about in bed. We're talking about spiritually. We're talking about what Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Lord, while men are sleeping, their marriages are being destroyed. While men are sleeping, their kids are being destroyed. While men are sleeping, their churches are being destroyed. While men are sleeping, our country, our cities are being destroyed. Lord, what shall the righteous do if the foundations be destroyed? God, help us. Help us to pay attention now to the words Jesus, our Lord, just said. What I say unto others, I say unto you, watch. Watch God stir us, we pray. We ask it in Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn in our blue.